Seeking the Wise Whys.
With Aaron and Alexander discussing the Just Philosophy.
Covering self-development, emotional processing, conscious relationships, and five levels of overall wellness.
Thank you, everyone, for joining me, Aaron, on the next episode of the Wise Whys podcast. I believe we're on episode 157 now, and this would be episode B because Alexander's on this particular subject has already launched in the previous week. Today, we are talking about my top five concepts and tools and techniques of the Just Philosophy that help with our relationships specifically. So as we've talked about more recently than at the beginning of the podcast episodes, you know, way back 5-6 years ago, there is a difference between our self-development work and our relationship work, or the work we do in our relationships. So the two are not necessarily the same. They're actually, you know, quite different. And when you're in a relationship, it can be hard to actually do the self-development work while you're also trying to manage the conflict within a relationship. So if in a perfect world, we would do our self-development work first to set us up for success. And then when we enter in into a relationship, then we can kind of fall back on our foundation, our groundwork that we have already built within our self-development journey, our self-growth journey, and then use that groundwork to then work within the relationship conflict. So for example, you know, one thing, for example, might be that, we've learned how to not take things personally. And within our self-development, part of our journey, part of our work, we're utilizing everybody as our teacher to learn how to not take things personally. So, a big learning experience we may get would be, utilizing our family, as we've talked about in that certain example. And then by the time we get to our relationship, because at least for me, my intimate relationships are where I struggle the most. It's where the hardest work is for me. I've been able to, utilize my family pretty well, and utilize the, strangers, the people around me when you're in the store, just all of this. To me, that was the easy part. It was, or it is, the emotional, the romantic, the intimate relationships that are the hardest to do this work. Because, I think the point is to be the most vulnerable with that person. And the more you open yourself up, the easier it is to get hurt. The easier it is to feel judged. That's where, a lot of your past childhood trauma or anything that you're kind of holding on to is going to be exposed, and open to be attacked. And if we haven't really done our groundwork or learned strategies to help with this, then we're kind of entering into a romantic relationship where we're going to get triggered most likely the most in our lives. We're kind of entering it without any battle armor, and you're just going in, with shorts and a t-shirt, and you think that you're going to be able to sustain the battle there. And for me, it's been the hardest. So I can definitely understand when Alexander has said that they are two different things, and you really want to have a good foundation before. But obviously, not everybody gets into this work in their teens. So we have to do the best that we can. And so, a lot of people listening might be married and may have already endured a lot of conflict within their marriage. And now they may have, gotten a taste of self-development work. So they're trying to work on themselves. And in my experience, when I started working on myself, it was like a lot of the anger came up, a lot of the frustration came up. And I actually, to the person I was with, it looked like I was getting worse before it got better. And so because I didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't inform, I didn't communicate that. And so they kind of saw my self-growth work as a negative because it was affecting them more, because I'm trying to learn all this stuff about myself. More stuff is coming up and they're seeing, you know, they're just seeing all the stuff that's coming up. So anyway, that's the difference between the self-development work and the relationship work. Cause with the relationship work is you're learning how to kind of make decisions with somebody else. It's not just yourself. And a lot of the stuff that when you get triggered with that person, it falls on you. It's your responsibility to process what comes up within you. Of course, you can have conversations with that person, but you have to process that in order to have that conscious relationship with that person, in order to begin that resolution, in order to begin the informing of, hey, this is what I experience. Because otherwise, you're just dumping in that moment of emotional reaction or being triggered. You're just dumping that on them. And it could even be that they just said a certain word that you don't like. And because you're not consciously processing before, you know, all this emotion rushes up from the past, probably when somebody else, you know, you built an association with that certain word, and you just start, you know, getting defensive or maybe just saying rude things to this other person, and it may not be warranted, and they don't understand because for them, they didn't intentionally do something to hurt you. But when you're in that emotional reaction that feels real, and you may get caught up in that and project all of that anger or frustration at them, because in that moment, it feels like they did something to you. But when you take a step back, when you pause, when you breathe, when you look at what happened, when you retrace the actions, when you try to find the root cause of that trigger, of that emotional reaction, you can then, when you finally get grounded, look at, you know, the role that they played and that they may not have even known. And you can look at the intention of that person and say, hey, you know, they didn't intend to do that to me. It was not personal. Let me take responsibility for that. Now that I know that I'm triggered by that word, I can communicate it to that person and say, hey, you know, maybe for a couple months, can you try not to bring that word up? And I'm going to work on my associations, my sensitivities to that word. And then, so that's your self-development process. The relationship part of that is the communication from, you know, kind of spurring off of your emotional processing to, and then bringing that person in and sharing, you know, the root cause, what you found out. And when you present it in that way, when you're not making that person feel like they're a cause of that emotion, they're more likely to sit down and want to work with you on that. Because if they're with you, if they love you, if they're trying to build something with you, they're going to want to work with you on that. They're not intentionally trying to hurt you. Otherwise, why are you in a relationship with that person, right? Like, I don't think that people are intentionally trying to hurt people unless they're in their emotions, unless they're in that raw emotion and they're not seeing things clearly because of that. And then that's when we can say the rude things, the things that aren't true, the things that are like daggers to that person, because we're trying to get back at them in that moment. And so, and we've all done that. You know, I used to do that. I rarely do that now, but I used to be very, very harsh with my tongue. But now I've established kind of a personal truth. Like, I know what is my truth, and that's what I go back on. So I can come in, and I've worked hard to process all of the thoughts, the monkey mind thoughts that come in when I feel upset, and I'm able to hold each one to my truth in the moment. And say, you're not real. You're not real. You're not real. You're not real. And I know what's real. And let me go back and try to work on and process this emotion and find the truth. Find what is the conscious way to handle this. And of course, like, you know, I'm probably about 80% good with that. You know, I still make mistakes. I'm still working on this. This is all just a journey and nobody's perfect. So anyway, with that, that's why I just wanted to go through that kind of difference here. And so if you missed my top 10 most impactful tools and techniques of the Just Philosophy for me on my self-growth journey, that was my last episode. I believe it was 156B. Alexander also brought in his most impactful ones on his journey, or it's kind of like a summary of all the impactful tools and techniques for self-development work. So I wanted to get into my top five. I do also have an honorable mention in this. I did, before we get into this, I did want to say thank you for all of the best wishes. I am recording this after returning from a week plus spending it with my family. They came down from Connecticut and we had a little vacation to celebrate my 40th birthday. I appreciate all the well birthday wishes. I haven't responded to everyone yet. I've kind of been not on social media. I haven't kind of like re-established myself back on there. I think everybody knows I'm not on there too often. I'm not a big fan of social media. But anyway, I want to send my gratitude to you guys for all the birthday wishes. I really, really, really appreciate it. I also wanted to mention that you can get all of the back episodes that we've done in their entirety, our back catalog, 150 episodes plus, by going to wisewisepodcast.com and subscribing for the low price of $4.99 a month. You can't put a price on this information, but we did, and it's very low. And we have all of this information in one place. Alexander also has Destiny Card and Human Design readings on his website, and you can have a personal consultation with him. His website is thejustphilosophy.com. He also sells music that he's created and so many other things, including the sound table, innovative sound table where you lay on a massage-like table and you listen to his music, and it's embedded with low-level sound waves that run throughout your body and release or help to release trauma. It's an amazing, amazing, amazing invention. So if you're interested in that, you can also get that there. So I appreciate you guys supporting us in any way that you can. And that includes just word of mouth, sharing an episode on social media. Of course, the monetary thing that I just mentioned, but also subscribing to our YouTube channel, sharing our YouTube videos, this, you know, the video aspect of this. If you're listening on audio, we do have video podcasts we've been doing it for at least, I want to say, about a year. So the last year's episodes will all be up there on video. We have all the episodes up on there. Well, not the back episodes, but again, we do rotate a couple a month, full episodes. So look out for those. And okay. With that said, I just want to, again, thank you guys for supporting us for the birthday wishes, and a future thank you for any way that you can support us going forward. We're really, really, really trying to grow this podcast. We have really never done any marketing for this podcast. If you have any ideas on how we could potentially market, we would appreciate that. So moving into my top five tools and techniques of the Just Philosophy in regards to growing into or learning how to have conscious relationships, coming in at number five, for me, this is something that actually Alexander mentioned in his episode, and it has to do with how to release some of this, some of the emotions that come up when we are triggered, when we are going through emotional reactions. And that is the technique of letting out the anger or letting out the sadness in whatever way that it was created inside of you. And so Alexander famously says, speak it to the wind, the trees, the stars. And that has really caught on. And that's actually one of the first things that I ever heard him say. But if you've been triggered, especially in relationships, when you get triggered, instead of taking that out on the person, pause, try to, you know, say, hey, I got to go. take care of this. I got to go think about what happened. Go outside, go in your car, go in another room, shut the door, and just scream or beat up a pillow. I know the pillow thing has been around a long time, and I recently, you know, got into, you know, beating a pillow to try to let out some, you know, past anger, and it actually helped out a lot. And I assume that, like, you know, boxing would help, you know, if you had like a boxing thing, what I forget what it, wherever they're called. Kickboxing would probably help too. Anything that's like you're letting out that exertion, but also I think it's really important to say the things that you want to say in that moment. When somebody frustrates you, when they do something that you don't understand, and if you don't say it in that moment, which is great because you're not taking it out on them, but you have to let it out in the same way that it was formed. And so, like, I live alone, so it's a little different for me, but the shower is where I have these conversations with these people, and I will just talk about what I want to say in the ways that they have frustrated me or brought up anger in me. And I will, you know, scream it out. I will say it to them as if they were standing right in front of me. Of course, Alexander says, speak it to the wind, the trees, the stars. So he's kind of, you know, saying go out in nature and let it out. But again, it could be let out anywhere. Of course, if the person's around, it's harder to do that because they're going to hear you and they're going to think that it's them, which, you know, it probably is. But at least you're not taking it out on them. So, you know, going in your car, in your garage, out in nature, again, is the best. But if you, you know, depending on where you live, or it may not be accessible to you. So screaming into a pillow, just you have to get out that emotion in the same way it's created. And you have to get it out. Otherwise, it's going to be stored within your body. And eventually, it can cause an emotional discomfort, emotional disease, or weakness within the body that will weaken that certain area. And then it could cause, again, a discomfort or an issue on the physical plane as it works its way through. So I don't really have a specific episode for this. I'm pretty sure we've talked about it in many, many, many episodes. You can go back to Alexander's last episode, which would be the A version of whatever number this is. I believe this is 157. So you can go back to that. But really, it's been mentioned, I would say, on at least 40 to 50 of our 150 episodes. So about 30%. So coming in at number four is the ever important pillar of everyone can be your teacher, or every situation can be your teacher if you choose to view it in that way. So this is one of the pillars, one of the five pillars. And our famous episode 51, was kind of our reboot of the pillars as we, you know, started piling on episodes. And we really do a great job at going through all five pillars and how to utilize them for your self-development work. Now, of course, we're talking about conscious relationships here, and I'm going to talk about this one in how it applies to conscious relationships, or, you know, working within relationships, doing the relationship work. And this is because everybody plays roles for us, and we're going to be attracted to people who possess a certain energy or a certain aspect, a certain quality about them that we may need, or maybe it's something that one of our parents had, and we're attracted to that subconsciously because it could have created a trauma within us. So we're either attracted to that same element, or we're most likely going to be attracted to the opposite element if we're overcorrecting here. So you could have parents that didn't teach you structure, and you could be attracted to somebody who's very structured. So these are just aspects that, again, like, we are attracted to. Now, the importance of this is understanding attraction, which we're going to get into in a little bit, and bringing that consciously into you to understand attraction, understand why you're attracted to somebody. And then you can, you know, consciously or intentionally try to learn that from that person if you choose to invite that person into your life in some way. Now, where everyone and every situation can be your teacher comes in is this person is playing a role for you to learn these aspects because you have not learned them, or you have not come in with your energetic design already possessing this energy. So again, this is part of attraction, because we're mostly attracted to people the opposite. Opposites attract. We're mostly attracted to people who possess energies or elements or attributes that we don't have, or things that we have to learn in this lifetime. And so they are going to play a role for us to work on these attributes, or work on learning these things to bring more into our life. And so a lot of times this is going to trigger us, because even though we may need it in our lives, we are so used to living a certain way. And so there's kind of this confusion within us, because our subconscious knows we need it, but our, you know, conscious mind, I don't want to say conscious, but like our monkey mind is probably going to be in resistance to it, because it could be something that reminds us of our parents, or it could be something that, again, we're not used to. So it is going to be work, and it is going to take us outside our comfort zone. And most people live within their comfort zone, and they're afraid to go outside their comfort zone. So if we can look at the people in our lives as teaching us something, every time somebody comes into our lives or says something, if it triggers us, if we can pause and think about, what is this trying to teach me here? Then we're making everything, every situation in our lives have meaning, versus just being somebody who made me mad. Then we're making everything in our lives useful. Then we're adding meaning and usefulness into our lives, versus we're just walking around in a meat suit, bumping into other people in meat suits. Like, that to me causes depression. If somebody looks at the world that way, that's depressing. But if we give meaning to everything, then we can start to see synchronicities. We can start to see the universe, God, source, nature speak to us in patterns. And that makes us feel important, like we're on a path. We have importance in this world. We have a reason for being alive. And anyway, that is number four. And if you're interested in that, I mentioned episode 51, the DIY guide for your self-development journey. I had to stop myself from going deeper because that was only number four. So number three is the two questions for understanding or finding your authentic relationships. And this goes back to episode 88, which is two questions to help you define your authentic relationships, like I just said. So this is coming off of the three questions for finding your authentic self, but this deals with the relationship side of that. So the three questions help for your self-development growth. It helps you to understand how you're energetically made, how you want to be called or who you want to be called, you know, what you're about and how you're going to exemplify or are exemplifying that. So on the other aspect, now that we're digging into conscious relationships or relationship work in general, the two questions come in around, you know, what are you looking to gain from a relationship and what are you looking to give? And this is, again, kind of going back and talking about the roles. What role are you wanting to play here? What energy are you wanting to give in a relationship? And then what energy or what roles are you wanting for somebody else to bring to you? This helps for us to kind of bring intention into finding a relationship that is in alignment with who we are and where we're trying to go. So it does go back to that self-development work. It does go back to those three questions, like how is a relationship going to fit within my self-growth work? What am I, you know, wanting to give, and what am I looking to get in return? So I know some people may think that that's kind of weird, like, you know, putting it, boiling it down so simply, but everything's energy, and this is realistic. We're all looking to get something from a relationship. Otherwise, why are we in a relationship? We're all looking to gain something because maybe we feel like there's something missing in our life. Maybe we want to share our lives with somebody. Maybe we, you know, we want that partner. We want to not feel alone as we go throughout our lives. And then somebody, you know, somebody else is going to have something to give, just like you're wanting to give. And so those things should be in alignment, or they're going to cause issues that are going to cause conflict, and they're going to come up, and you're going to need to understand how to adjust consciously when those things come up. And so just this episode 88 is just bringing in some awareness, asking you to do like some mental preparation, to brainstorm, to consciously tap into what exactly you're looking for and what exactly you're looking to give. And when, if even if you're in a relationship, you can just take a step back, because this is you. And then you can reassess, how many issues in my relationship, now that I'm bringing, you know, conscious energy to this, now that I'm bringing intention to this, is my current relationship in alignment with that? And if it isn't, that doesn't mean you have to end it. It just means, hey, have that conversation with this person. Have it be an exercise. Talk about these things. Where can you have more conscious communication about these things? Where can you bring in adjustments within the relationship to help each person get and give what they're looking to? So all of this work is just to bring consciousness into our lives, to bring more intention into our lives, more awareness around the energetic components versus just the subconscious, us just going through the motions. And when we go through the motions, we do the same things we've done in past relationships that have caused issues, because that's how we're programmed. So consciousness, when we bring consciousness in, we're looking at our programming and we're learning and looking at what we want to adjust going forward. And that's how we grow. And so when we look at the adjustments, when we look at our subconscious programming, that's, again, that's the self-development work. But when we're looking in how to relate, how our self-development work helps us relate, or how we need to make adjustments in our relating, that's the relationship work. So number two is the episode where we talked about roles again. I'm bringing in roles again. When we talked about roles, but we talked about what specific roles do you want to play? What do you want to bring to a relationship? What is your first initial role that you want to bring? And this talked about, there were four roles. There's the protector, the provider, the nurturer, and the, oh man, I'm probably going to forget what the other one is. And Alexander talked about this in his last episode, episode 157A. And the episode I'm talking about is episode 131, Conscious Conflict, The Importance of Self-Development Work in Relationships. And I believe we've talked about this on one other episode. I wasn't able to find it going back and just looking at the titles. But this one is great, because you look at, like, how are you programmed when you first enter into a relationship? For me, I think, and this goes back on, you know, growing up and looking at how, the role that my dad played in my parents' relationship. I think my initial one is to be a provider, is to want to provide financially and with a place to live. And again, like, that's not always needed, and I'm not looking to take care of somebody, but that is kind of just my initial subconscious programming. And again, like, it is a traditional masculine role, so it could be just baked in from society. It's the influences that I was brought up in, and again, it also snapped into my energetic design. It was just how I was created. And so again, like, that's my initial role that I want to play. And then maybe I would say teacher is probably the next one. I've probably grown into that more so since doing the podcast. But I think I've always had that energy of wanting to, you know, teach people things, or share things, or how to do things, solve problems, be logical. That's a very masculine trait. And so the reason we want to look at these roles is because we want to make sure that the person that we're with that our initial role that we want to play is the role that that person wants in return. So this does actually go back to number three, which was the two questions to help us define our authentic relationships. Whereas instead of just looking at the things we want to bring, we're looking more specifically at the roles we want to play. So if a person I'm with doesn't want a provider, and nowadays there's a lot of women who are anti-provider. So if that person is anti-provider, you can see how that would create a lot of conflict and that just wouldn't be a good match. And that's not to say it couldn't work. Both parties would have to be very conscious about it and work through it. Of course, the person, you know, me in this situation, that I would have to work through being very conscious about the energy, the things that I would say, the actions that I would do, you know, maybe like paying for meals that we, you know, would buy, or, you know, if we were going out to eat, I would have to be very conscious about not doing that all the time. And that person would have to work on not getting upset if I did that, or maybe work on accepting that role or offering to pay and stuff like that. So that's just an idea of how two people would work on that, you know, if that wasn't their first role that they wanted to accept from somebody. And if that was the role, the initial role or the main role that I would want to play. It is very hard because it is very ingrained in me, but that's the whole reason why this is number two, is because being aware of this can, I don't want to say solve problems, but can shed light on why there are potential problems happening within a relationship. So it could be very subtle, and it could be that one person is triggered by one person trying to provide, but they may not understand that that's what it is. It could just be that I don't like it when somebody pays, and it makes me feel like I'm not worthy of, you know, buying my own meal, or it makes me feel like, you know, I'm not working hard to earn my meal. And so, of course, that's a very conscious way of saying that. They may just get upset and be like, oh, why do you always have to pay? I don't like it. That would be the emotional reaction. But if they started processing, then it could sound more like that. They're starting to dig in. But then you dig in even deeper. So maybe this is like a level two or three thing, which is this role thing, which is, okay, why do I feel the need to provide? Why does this person feel that they can't accept? And then we're getting somewhere, because now we're going deeper in understanding the subconscious ways that we behave in relationships. And when you become conscious of them, then you can make the choice to change them. You can't really change them if you're not conscious of why, because you're not changing the root. It's just like in modern medicine, pharmaceutical companies are just creating new products so doctors can just throw a pill at it to mask symptoms. Now, the main issues rarely go away. The symptoms are just masked. So things will and do come back over and over because the root causes are not being looked at or taken care of or fixed. So it's the same way in when we're trying to alter and change and grow, we have to understand the root causes of why we do things in order to be able to make a conscious change and make it quicker and more efficient, so that we don't need to keep going through the same emotional reactions, the same sufferings, the same repetitive things that we want to change about ourselves, because then that can cause a lot of self-judgment. So then, finally, getting into our number one tool and technique of the Just philosophy around relationships, and that is something that I brought in my self-development work, of course, is the foundation principles of relating. Alexander, of course, talked about these in his episode on this topic. They are so pivotal in understanding ways to look at the energy around relationships. And again, the most important aspect, in my opinion, or one of them, of these five, I think Alexander also added a sixth one recently around energy, I think it is. is, for me, is the attraction and love separation. And attraction is something that happens because we are attracted energetically to this thing. It could have an attribute thing, person. It could have, they could have an attribute that we want to bring more into our lives or subconsciously need more into our lives. So we could be attracted to them, but attraction does not mean love. So that's the important separation there. That love is a choice that we make once we are attracted to somebody and we do want to continue relating to them. We want to, you know, form a more romantic relationship with this person. And that's when we are choosing love. So it's attraction happens. Love is developed. Trust is earned. Respect is given. And forgiveness is a necessity. And I would say the other aspect of maybe this is the respect. Because a lot of people will say that you have to earn my respect. But to me, respect is just a fundamental human right. To me, in my opinion, I give respect to people because they're humans. They're going through all the same challenges that I am, but maybe even worse. I don't know their lives. So when I'm in public, when I'm around other people, I respect them just as I would love them to respect me. And that includes being in a relationship. I respect that person. I try very hard to not dump my emotional reactions out on them. To me, going through all this, that is the ultimate form of respect. If I'm looking for somebody to respect me, that's what I would communicate to them. Don't emotionally react on me. Understand that that is something that I could be bringing up out of you. It's not to say that I didn't do anything to cause that. I'm not saying that. But let's have a real discussion about why that came up and what I can do to help and what you're going to work on to help the situation the next time it comes up. Like, let's proactively discuss doing the work on both ends, because as we've discussed before, there are always things that both of us can do, both people in a relationship can do when something comes up. But again, a lot of the responsibility falls on that main person who's having the emotional reaction, because it is part of their self-development work to like manage their emotions, to process their emotions. That is a core pillar. So that is their work. That is their responsibility. It's not the other person to stop doing it, because that's not helping. It's not actually not helping that person, because if they're not working on, again, the root cause of why they're being triggered, then it doesn't matter if that person doesn't do it. Somebody else is going to play that role for them and they're going to keep being triggered by it. So the other person in that situation can understand that that's a sensitive area and can you know, work with them to not do that for a certain amount of time. But at some point, they have to be challenged with that. And again, it still doesn't revolve on that person to just not do it so that that person isn't triggered. That's not how it works, especially in a relationship. You have to work together to work on these things. But again, the person having or being triggered, is they have the main responsibility to work on that trigger. Otherwise, it's just going to keep coming up. And in my opinion, that is disrespectful to the other person if you're not working on it. Because you're just going to keep emoting on them. And if you know that it's not them, if you look at the root cause that it's not them, then it's, to me, it's like another level of disrespect to continue to dump it on them when you get angry. And that's just a sign that you haven't done the self-development work before trying to enter into a relationship. So that's where that can come into play. If you don't have that foundation, because you're always going to be triggered. Again, you go back to attraction, why we're attracted to somebody, opposites attract. So we're bringing in a lot of opposites, and that is going to cause a lot of triggers. So just by default, many relationships are going to be very triggering to both parties. And to have this foundation is going to set you up for success, to continue that communication, to bring consciousness into a relationship. And my honorable mention for this episode is something that didn't make my top five, but it is a very, very, very interesting concept. And I love when we initially discussed it, because I always love aspects. You know, I was big into conspiracies. I always love like truth bombs that go against what everybody thinks. That draws my attraction in. I'm attracted to that. And I can look at why. But it is around, it's around compromise and sacrifice. And this goes back to episode 97, which was why sacrifice and compromise are not useful in conscious relationships. And right off the bat, that can trigger a lot of people, because the terms sacrifice and compromise are brought in a lot, especially in like the keys to marriage is learning how to sacrifice or learning how to compromise. That's said a lot. But in that episode, we adjust the understanding of what that actually means to do that. And if you can bring in consciousness into that and you accept that I am giving up this for this person, and I accept that, I'm making that decision, then it's okay. Then you're understanding the cost and you're saying that I'm willing to. And let's bring in an example. A common example is that one person goes to a family function for you, and then there's that pressure for you to go to that family function of theirs. So there's that trade-off. And sometimes there's one family that both people like and one family that both people don't like, or maybe each other don't, you know, you don't resonate with the in-laws. And that's where this can be an issue. There's that pressure to perform, that pressure to have a certain view from the outside, from your family. So you want your significant other to go with you to these family functions, but they may not always be in the mood. They may not always, you know, resonate at that moment in time. And so again, in mainstream relationships, this is just known as compromise. You go to theirs, they go to yours. That's just how it works. And, they're compromising, so you're compromising. But when we're talking about conscious relationships and self-development work, it's really about that individual. It's really comes down to their energy, their energetic situation, and the cost of them going, and whether they're currently in resonation. And of course, there's ways where somebody could take advantage of this and say, hey, well, you know, I don't feel like going. I don't want to go. And then they can always use that excuse. And then that can be brought up and talked about. But if we're talking about self-development work and conscious relationships, then we're talking about what's best for the individuals in each situation around the variables of the situation. And what, again, like what's best for each one? Because when we are fed, when we are well fed, then that's when we're going to be the best person we can be and the best partner we can be. So when you force somebody to go, when you like emotionally manipulate them into going to something they don't want to, they don't want to be there. So they're not going to be the partner that you want. They're not going to be supportive. You're kind of pressuring them to go. They're not going to be happy about it, most likely. So we have to think about it. It's kind of like when somebody wants to break up with somebody, but the other person doesn't want them to. And so they're like begging them or pressuring them, maybe even blackmailing them to stay. They get crazy and they just do things to try to grasp onto them because they're attached. But why would you want to be in a relationship with somebody who doesn't want to be in a relationship with you? Like, that never made sense to me. If somebody decides that they don't want to be in a relationship with me, then I want them to go. I want them to be their best self. I want them to live authentically with whatever that means to them. That's what I want for everybody in this world. And if they don't want to be with me, if they stay with me, I'm not getting what I want. Because I want somebody locked in. I want somebody interested. I want somebody, you know, looking at the energy that we're creating together and, you know, consciously communicating and fulfilling that. And if they're not going to, if they're not there intentionally participating in that energy of that third energy that we're building together, why would I want them here? So that's how I look at that. And that's how we looked at that. I would urge you, if that creates any type of intrigue or even some friction within you, go to episode 97, why sacrifice and compromise are not useful in conscious relationships, and listen to that episode. You may have to subscribe. I can't remember if it's one of the ones that are currently accessible and free out there. Again, like we swap two out every month randomly. And so you may have to pay $4.99 a month to support us. I think it's worth that. This information is worth this. It's completely helping you change your life and your relationships. How much energy do we exert in our relationships that we don't have answers on how to solve these issues? And we're giving you this information, these perspectives to look at, these tools and techniques step by step on how to do these things for $4.99 a month. It's $5. That's less than coffee nowadays in this crazy, crazy world. And you're supporting something great here. Like, Alexander and I don't get paid to do this. We love to discuss this information. The money that we get helps to pay for our, you know, our mics, our subscriptions to, you know, our software that we have to use. You know, I edit all of our episodes. And so, Alex, you know, we're putting in time to get this information out to you. And we're just asking for $4.99 in return. I know initially we did have it out there for more. We wanted to lower it because, you know, everybody's going through a hard time nowadays. Everything's so expensive. And this is the big, in my opinion, my opinion, this is one of the biggest things that can help you in this life. And it doesn't matter what's going on out there. It doesn't matter. Politics doesn't matter. The economy, yes, it's hard. And I don't want to say it doesn't matter. But if we work on ourselves, it also helps us work on our relationships with money. So we're not pushing it away. We can be more conscious about money, more conscious about our jobs, more conscious about where we're putting our energy. And our relationships are going to be more fulfilling. That is what we're all looking for, I think. But everybody's looking for it to be so quick, so instant. How can I just quickly do this? There are no there's no shortcuts to authentic, you know, growth, muscle growth. You have to go to the gym. Just as there's no authentic, you know, there's no shortcuts for authentic growth within ourselves. We have to do the shadow work. We have to go deep. We have to look at, you know, our childhoods, our traumas. We have to go there. We have to feel it. It's just like we have to feel it. We have to feel the burn. And that burn is a catalyst for us to grow. Our suffering, when we say, I'm done suffering in this way, how do I change this? That's when you're ready. That's when you're ready for the growth. That's when you're ready for the change. That's when you're ready for that consistency that's going to lead to that growth. And we have that information, and it's all in one place for you, all in one place. 150 plus episodes. You got Alexander as somebody in your corner. If you choose to, you know, to hire him for consulting, he does relationship coaching. He will utilize this information and look at all your energetic designs to really go down to the variables and explain, hey, this is why this person's doing that. This is why they're acting in this way. This is the energy, you know, this is why they're bringing this energy in. And it's going to blow your mind, because we're not conscious about all these things because we don't know. And we're all acting out of subconscious. And he's going to be able to tell you about things about yourself, of why you're doing things in a relationship. And when we shed light on that and bring in consciousness, it helps us see it as like, oh, this person isn't doing it intentionally to me. It helps us respect more, trust more, because now we know that it's not personal. Going back, everyone can be your teacher if you choose to see it. Taking that personal out of everything that happens to us and making it, you know, mean something. What if that's how the universe or God communicates to us on the things that we need to change, by bringing people and situations into our lives to show us where we need to change? That's how we view this. That's how we view all of this. And so again, that's my top five with an honorable mention. I appreciate you guys listening to me go on about it passionately about this information. I love this information. It's really helped me grow. Of course, I'm not a perfect person. I'm trying to live within this. I'm trying to live in integrity within the information that I know. And I'm not perfect. It you know, sometimes I don't get to practice this stuff 100%, but I'm always working on how I can improve that. What's the next perspective I need to help in my relationships and my self-growth work. So I wish you the same success. I wish you the same intrigue, the same questioning, the same passion for wanting to take action and control of your life and say, no more. As Alexander says, no mas. I'm not going to be energetically manipulated by external sources, by my emotions. I'm not going to be hijacked by my emotional reactions, my triggers any longer. Of course, from that moment, it's up to me to work on that. And of course, I'm going to fail. But my intention now is to not, like, I'm done. And I'm saying this because to me, like, that's the energy needed to take this stuff seriously. That, or at least to me, that's what I had to do within myself. I had to really look at myself deeply and say, no more. I know right from wrong now. I know that's judgment, but I know what I meant to do. I know what is consciousness. I know what is respect. And respect to another person, especially in a relationship, is not taking out my emotional crap onto that other person. And it's my responsibility, my accountability to process and communicate my emotions, my reactions, my triggers, and not in emotion. Again, I'm not perfect. I'm still working through it. But I've come a long, long ass way. And I'm deeply grateful that this is part of my path in this life. I appreciate it. And again, thank you everyone for the 40th birthday words that you've sent me. And until next time, I look forward to talking more with you guys. I hope that you got a lot out of this. And until next time, thank you for growing and sharing you.
Thank you for listening to this free version of the Wise Wise podcast. To hear the complete conversation and go deeper into the application of the tools and techniques of the Just Philosophy, head on over to wisewisepodcast.com and become a premium member. You'll get to hear all of our complete conversations, including the complete episodes of our Inward Journey story series and our entire back catalog, and continue your self-development journey with us. We honor your dedication to self-growth, overall wellness, and continuing to ask the wise whys.
And remember, gradual changes over long periods of time equals lasting results.
Continue on your self-growth journey by visiting thejustphilosophy.com, where you are able to connect personally by booking a private consultation with Alexander in person, by phone, or Zoom. Uncover your authentic self more easily with a human design or destiny card consultation. Here, you will gain information about your energetic makeup, personality, and your higher self, as well as navigating your way through your relationships. There are also multiple types of reports available for purchase that help you gain insight into your career, relationships, and opportunities for self-growth. The site also allows you to view a calendar of Alexander's live performances and class schedule, peruse other products such as shirts, CDs, and finally, the revolutionary VibroTune vibrational sound therapy tables. These contoured therapy tables allow you to bathe in a vibrational sonic bath of frequencies, bringing you into alignment on all levels. You will be feeling and hearing calming music synced through vibration and frequency. So again, you can grab all this goodness at thejustphilosophy.com, thejustphilosophy.com. The Just Philosophy, as discussed in this podcast, has been developed by Alexander over the last 25 years in his personal studies, private practice, and professional environment. The information discussed is intended for educational purposes only and is not meant as a replacement for conventional medicine. Just remember, knowledge plus experience equals wisdom. Seek the wise. We want to thank you for working on you. Keep shining your light and refining your vibe.